Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
The gun buy program. You can't say buy back because the city never owned them in the first place, but I went by the program after I was cleaning up Graffiti Bridge with my son on Saturday and swung by to just see what was happening. We got there about, 10-ish, 10:30, something like that, and it was all over. it was all over. So I had a chance to talk to a city councilman, Delarian Wiggins, who pioneered the program, and I got his opinion on things. So we're here with Councilman Delarian Wiggins at the gun buy event for the city of Pensacola that he originated and proposed. How do you think the event went?
Me personally, I think it went successful. We collected... don't have a final count, but I think around 66 firearms altogether. So, me personally, I think it went pretty good.
And you ran out of money before 10 o'clock, right?
I was about 45 minutes or so, yes, absolutely.
So, I've heard different accounts of kind of the quality, condition, functionality of the guns, everything from homemade guns to old one-shot 22s. In your opinion, you saw the guns as they were coming in. Were they mostly like that? Were there some that were higher functionality?
I would say some of them were high functionality. However, I was not in the collection part where they was actually taking it, so I did not know. I was more out here just talking to the citizens. But I'm sure they have high functionality. At least I would hope they were.
Did people tell you what their reasons were for bringing the guns in today?
No, they did not.
Okay. And I guess some people were also buying some of the guns that seemed more valuable than the price being offered, right, on the side?
No, that I have no idea.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're very welcome.
You get everything as a city councilman, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's all good.
By the way, if you didn't manage to pick that up, we're just talking, and this woman who had tried to sell a gun because they're out of money, a woman and her husband, and she walks by in the background, this is some political BS. And he's like, thank you, ma'am. And she's like, oh, thank you. It was just the oddest little moment. Now continuing with the interview. So do you plan to try again for another round?
Well, definitely, probably in the near future. Again, this was a learning opportunity for everyone. So, if so, then I will look at trying to get some money donated or gift cards, donated. I did have an opportunity to talk with the gentleman here. So he expressed his concerns. One thing about me, I don't know everything. However, I will sit down and have a conversation with you and hope that, if something like this would ever happen again, of course, I would take those suggestions and try to incorporate them into, a bigger, better program.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm sure, I've been pretty critical of the value of the program. The spirit of it, I'm fine with. But the actual effectiveness of it, do you see anything that you would do differently if you had a chance to do it either over or again?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely look into maybe getting some local businesses to donate, maybe some gift cards or something like that.
So it's private money instead of public money?
Absolutely, absolutely. So looking at different things like that, again, I'm all about trying to help the community, but I'm also about trying to get better ideas to try to make it better. So, again, I talked to a few people, talked to the gentleman over there, and he expressed his concerns, which rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the conversation, I respect what he was saying, and he had some great ideas. So, if it's something like this ever happened again, of course, I will try to incorporate some of that as well.
You've been in office now not quite 6 months. What's it like being a city councilman? Is it what you expected?
Oh, well, you just heard. I just got cussed out. but overall, I'm here for the community. I want to work with everyone. I don't pretend to know everything. However, conversation is what it's all about.
Do you know what she was angry about? Was it that they were out of money or what? Do you know?
I'm assuming maybe out of money.
Okay.
Again, I had no control over the actual budget that was given.
Yeah.
And I did not know that it was going to go as fast as it
sure,
did.
Sure. I mean, so. I figured it wouldn't even get to spending all the money. So,
right. Right. So, I hate it happened, but, we ran out. But, I can understand the frustration.
Well, Councilman, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. And political service is... No better roses a lot of the time, and so we have, I appreciate everybody who's.
Oh, absolutely, and thank you. And look, I read your survey just last night, so it's not 26; it's going to be about 66.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir.
But thank you, Andrew. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Bet.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I put a note up on Facebook about what's your best guess at the number, and I had 25. I didn't figure that people would actually follow through on the keyboard bravery threats, but what they were planning to do. A couple of different things. People were planning to go buy guns on the side. That turned out to happen. Not a lot, but a couple of them. People were talking about making homemade guns. That did happen. A guy showed up with a couple of what he called boomstick 1776s. Basically a zip gun for shotgun shells with some 2x4 and some metal wire wrapped around it. And they worked, and he sold them. I talked to other people who had bought cheap pistols and sold them for $150, bought a cheap rifle and sold it for $200. Somebody had sold a pellet gun. I don't think that this was the big get the guns off the streets out of the hands of criminals kind of success event. I'm sure it did get some guns out of elderly folks' possession, which is what a lot of the folks that I saw come in after the fact had wanted to do. I don't know how many of the guns were high functioning, good quality. I doubt very many at all, but I have already asked for a picture of the guns, and I'm waiting on that because I want to see, were there some genuinely decent guns that were purchased or not? I'm not convinced of the value of this, but obviously was very wrong about the demand level. So, people even, I mean, I'm trying to guess because I don't really know, but I'm guessing that probably half the guns were legit, at least half were legitimate sales, and the other half were people doing various things, trying to take advantage. 716 here on News Radio 92.3, or make a point. 716 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Well, Andrew, we do have an accident on Avalon Boulevard. This is going southbound at Mary Kitchens Road is where this accident is located. Also seeing some delays as you're going northbound, possibly as a result of this accident. But going northbound appears that delays are backed up starting at Mary Kitchens Road. And almost to Garcon Point Road is where I'm noticing these delays. Southbound, also going towards I-10, is delayed backed up to Moore's Oak Drive. And Garcon Point Bridge is delayed going southbound into Gulf Breeze. Also northbound, as you're getting across the hump, we're also seeing delays on Highway 98 and Gulf Breeze backed up eastbound to Tiger Point Golf Course. Also, just keep in mind, if you're going westbound on I-10, there's a partial closure over by the Crestview exit. So you're going to want to get off at the Crestview exit, go northbound, take that to Highway 90, which you can then go westbound on. Also, the front gate of NES Pensacola flowing smoothly, and this report is brought to you by ECUA's Recycle Coach app. It's free. It includes recycling do's and don'ts, sanitation collection reminders. You can report a problem and so much more. Download it today. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
All right, I'm going to say some words here for a second, and some of you, these words are going to be very familiar, and some of you, these words are going to sound like a foreign language. That's okay. Just bear with me for a second. All right, here goes. PPG, Carboline, Rust-Oleum, BASF, Sonneborn, Aquafin, DeVoe, Skill, Bosch, DeWalt, Delta, Hitachi, Makita, Husqvarna, Jet, Porter, Cable, 3M, Fallsafe, Elk River, DBI, Sela, ERB, Fiber Metal, North Safety, Edge Eyewear, Q2, G5, G8. These are hardware terms. And I know for a lot of you, you're like, is that not got anything to do with me? Okay, fine. But if you hear me saying those words and you're like, that's my language, Pensacola Hardware. This is all stuff that they stock all the time, every day, available. You walk in, you need it, they've got it. If they don't have it, you don't need it, okay? So if you're in the construction business, you build things for a living, man, if you aren't using Pensacola Hardware, you have to. As I said, they have it in stock, so you don't have to wait for them to get it to you. They can bring it right to your job site instead of you having to go in. They can put you on a monthly bill so you don't have to send a guy with a credit card down to get it. I mean, just... their job is to help people like you build things. For over 170 years, they have been helping people just like you build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Nationwide, the cost of gas is skyrocketing, reaching levels unseen since 2019. The national average for a gallon of regular gas is $2.88. That's a 20-cent jump from February and a 70-cent increase from this time last year. And if you're driving in California, brace yourself. The average price, $3.87 for regular.
So we're seeing gas prices jump. I actually went to the Buc-ee's in Alabama for the first time yesterday on my way back. I've been stuck in traffic on I-10 coming east, coming home, two Sundays in a row. Killing me. It's just so frustrating. Like, I haven't been to Mobile twice in 2 years, and it was these two Sundays and stuck on I-10 both times. But I did get off and tried the Buc-ee's. It was $2.51, which I was rejoicing to pay $2.51 for gas. It's like $2.80 here in town-ish, maybe more than that. It's crazy. It's almost reminiscent of when Trump was president at the Buc-ee's. Although I was looking, and I think, to be fair, I think everybody kind of jokingly thinks, well, you know, Biden caused this. I'm not sure. I mean, the Keystone XL thing, I don't know that that's had an effect at all yet. This is really a supply and demand thing. This is everybody's out from under COVID now and they're driving. And so there's demand and, you know, supply hasn't caught up yet. But it's bad. No doubt it's bad. And if you look historically, when Trump became president, what happened over his presidency, it did dip right at the end and has gone up. But it's been going up since like May of last year. So, yeah, you know, I don't it's funny to blame Biden for this. I'm not sure that it's fair to blame Biden for this, at least not yet. But, you know, if it doesn't get under control, I'm going to start to. Let me put it that way. We got Cooper Davis in the newsroom this week for Mark Jacobs. Coop?
I just caught this here, Andrew. Local students suffering longer school bus rides in large part thanks to a shortage of qualified school bus drivers, at least in Escambia County. The News Journal reports there are 98 bus driver positions open in the Escambia County School District right now. The district currently employs close to 200 drivers. The PNJ says drivers are often forced right now to double back or handle two school routes while managers drive buses.
Wow.
Instead of handling administrative duty, school officials reportedly scheduled to sit down with the Union of Escambia Education Staff Professionals to negotiate bus drivers' pay and perhaps attract more qualified applicants. The paper reports there is a small grassroots effort online aimed at increasing bus driver wages to $15 per hour.
Yeah, they've been short for years, and they're really short now. Just like everything, all these municipal jobs, there's openings everywhere. That's why the, you know, people who say they can't find work, there's work.
There's,
you know,
work.
Yeah.
And I think the jail has still got a lot of folks they want to hire, too. One thing that President Biden and former President Trump seem to agree on is bringing U.S. troops home from Afghanistan. Mike Bauer reports.
Last year, President Trump said,
19 years is enough. They're acting as policemen, okay? They're not acting as troops.
While running for president back in 2020, then-Democratic candidate Joe Biden said,
I think we should only have troops there to make sure that it's impossible for the Taliban, for ISIS or Al-Qaeda to reestablish a foothold there.
So both leaders agree that U.S. troops should be removed from Afghanistan. Biden now faces the same concerns Trump did about a possible backlash of creating a vacuum for the rise of future groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda to take power by removing U.S. troops. I'm Mike Bauer.
Ah, it never ends, Andrew.
Genuinely doesn't. We're 20 years in.
Yeah.
God, almost.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, Coop, thanks so much for the update. 720, I'm going to talk about that a little bit with Matt Gaetz coming up in a minute. 725 here on News Radio 923 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, Andrew. Avalon Boulevard has a bunch of messes right now. So if you're traveling southbound going towards I-10 coming from Highway 90, I just received a report that there is an accident causing delays. So this is also, and I am seeing these delays backed up to around the Hope Church. And also, if you're going southbound, this time towards Gulf Breeze, there's an accident that took place right around Mary Kitchens Road that is causing delays backing up around the All Appliances Repair Center. Also northbound, we're seeing delays starting around Mary Kitchens Road, backing up all the way to the Toll Plaza, it appears. And if you're going southbound on Garcon Point Bridge, it is backed up. Before you even get to the hump, you're going to be met with these delays. Also seeing delays going eastbound on Highway 90. This is as, or Highway 98, I should say. This is as you're heading towards Garcon Point Bridge. And over at the front gate of NES Pensacola, it is flowing smoothly along with Gulf Beach Highway. But now this is actually just popping up on my map. It is minor, but there is an accident on Pine Forest Road just north of Longleaf Drive. It appears to be affecting southbound traffic, but they are minor. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
So if you go to buy a used car, I recommend you go to Frontier Motors. But let's imagine that for some reason or other, you don't wind up going there, or you go somewhere else and you're going to buy a used car from somebody else. Okay, I understand that happens. At the very minimum, you should get a Carfax. Now, I recommend you ought to get a used car inspection as well. Take it to a dealer, mechanic, somebody you trust, and get a used car inspection before you buy a used car. But at least get a Carfax. And if the place you're buying it from doesn't give you a Carfax for free, I mean, you're like, why won't they? But you can just call Frontier and they will. It's like, Andrew, they'll give me a Carfax for buying a car from somebody else? Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it doesn't cost them. They can do it. They got the service and they want to help. Just give them the VIN and they'll give you a Carfax. No problem, because they want to make sure that you buy good cars. And even if you buy a good car from somebody else, they want to protect you from buying bad cars. So get a free Carfax from Frontier, even if you wind up buying from somebody else, or at least if you're looking at one. That's just part of their idea of serving the community. That's why when I say they're serving the community for more than 25 years behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean it, and so do they. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Round, round, get around, I get around.
Yeah, 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. The European countries seem to have come back around on AstraZeneca. The risk of blood clots seems to be extremely low. Not even any higher than the risk in the general population, so they're not even sure it's a big deal. But they say they can figure it out, monitor it, and prevent it if it is an issue. Just look for bruising. But we don't have that one approved yet here, so it's not much of a concern for us yet. Matt Gaetz comes up in a moment. Cooper Davis, what do you got coming up, sir?
Guy drives up, shoots another guy, happened on Highway 98.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A fourth coronavirus vaccine. A fourth coronavirus vaccine is progressing toward U.S. approval.
AstraZeneca says its COVID-19 vaccine is 79% effective, giving strong protection against sickness and eliminating hospitalizations and deaths across all age groups. The company says it found no increased risk of blood clots identified in Europe. AstraZeneca says it will continue to analyze the U.S. data before submitting it to the FDA in the coming weeks.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. AstraZeneca's vaccine is already approved for use in dozens of other countries. A Thursday to Sunday night curfew is extended for another 3 weeks in parts of Miami Beach, Florida, because of all the spring breakers in the city.
There is a curfew in effect from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. You are commanded to immediately and peacefully disperse.
Major roads into the city are being closed at night to non-residents. There have been more than 1,000 arrests reported in Miami Beach since spring break started. America's listening to Fox News.
No more, because you get your news from Northwest Florida's all-day news leader. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I stand my...
Our message has been straightforward and simple, and it's true. The border is closed. We are expelling families, we are expelling single adults, and we've made a decision that we will not expel young, vulnerable children. I think we are executing on our plans, and quite frankly, when we are finished doing so, the American public will look back on this and say we secured our border and we upheld our values and our principles as a nation.
I mean, if this is what success looks like, I hate to imagine what failure looks like. That is DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas talking on all the channels yesterday. He was all over the place yesterday talking about this border. Don't call it a crisis. Joining us now, we have Representative Matt Gaetz, our congressman for U.S. House District 1. Matt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. And listening to that quote, you just hear the dangerous policy that emanates from it. Like, if you say unaccompanied minors get to stay no matter what, then people are going to send their unaccompanied minors. It's sort of like if you tell people that if you show up to the border with a kid, you're going to be treated differently. More people are going to show up with a kid, whether it's theirs or not, whether it's bought, sold, rented or not. And what we have on the border is absolutely a crisis. Let me just break down one data point that I'm concerned about. We are now encountering almost 600 unaccompanied minors every single day at the border.
Wow.
And that compounds very quickly because the paperwork, the bureaucratic strain on the system, the just amount of Border Patrol human activity to process and manage the crisis of one unaccompanied minor at the border. And then you start to get hundreds every day, and it's growing very, very rapidly. So we're seeing growth in all categories, but the growth in unaccompanied minors really problematic.
Well, and, you know, as we all know, the pictures of, and I put this in air quotes, kids in cages that were so prevalent a couple of years ago. I mean, the kids are being kept in the same facilities, unless I'm mistaken. We just don't have the photos around as much, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're building new facilities, right? They're taking money that we wanted to use for the wall, border security, technology, surveillance, and they're converting those into processing centers for people to show up and then have their catch and release experience. The magic of the Trump immigration policy was that we were able to repatriate people in safe third countries, and we could have their asylum claims processed without them being in the United States. That's what brought the flow, from, 60, 70,000 a month down to, 20% of that toward the end of the Trump presidency. Now, just based on the trafficking routes that are being set up and the early numbers we're getting, it's not going to be long before we're, close to 100,000 a month that we're encountering or apprehending at the border. The tragedy is, this isn't something that's unsolvable, right?
Right.
If you reform the asylum system to the border security, you actually can solve this problem.
Well, we conservatives have long said control the border first, then reform. And Democrats obviously want to try to do it, if at all, in the other direction. But look, you can build the wall or you can build welcome centers. But, you got to pick one or the other. And we're going the other way. Hey, just so I understand this particular problem, because I've been trying to wrap my brain around this. Like, what is the path? What is the plan of people who send their 16-year-old? In my mind, it's get the 16-year-old in, get them on a path to citizenship, get them to be citizens, and then they can bring the family. Am I wrong? Is that the plan?
That's exactly right. And the scary part is the role the cartels play on both sides of the border. Oftentimes, the children are not just being sent, and wherever they end up is wherever they end up. Oftentimes, the kids are told, who to say a family member or a contact is in the United States. And oftentimes, the U.S. government is delivering these children right into the arms of cartels that exploit them. And in a way, the U.S. government has become the biggest human trafficker in the world because we're collecting these kids or other people at the border and then doing the cartel's work for them of moving those people into positions of exploitation. One other note, Joe Biden gave a statement that really troubled me about the border. He said, "Don't come now. Wait until we get the system set up." And I want to be very clear. There's no system that should be extracting, 3% of the population of El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, every month or two, and bringing those people into the United States. I think it's unrealistic to assume that these, tens of thousands of people every month from the Northern Triangle can come into our country, even legally. That doesn't seem.
We're talking to Matt Gaetz, our congressman. Matt, normally you and I talk a shotgun. We do a lot of different topics. This is just such an important thing right now. That's kind of why I'm focusing on it. Let me put you on hold for just a second. I'll pick you up in a second because I still have another question about this that I think you might be uniquely qualified to answer. I'm curious about. But let's get a quick traffic break in here. Davis Allen, traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and a couple of accidents to report. Two of them on Avalon Boulevard as around Moores Oak Drive. There's an accident as you're going southbound towards I-10, delaying traffic into the Moores Golf Course area. Also southbound on Avalon Boulevard at Mary Kitchens Road, we have delays backed up all the way to I-10. Northbound, we're also seeing delays starting at the Mary Kitchens Road, backing up to Garson Point Road, and Garson Point Bridge is slowing down, or very slow, actually, before you get to the hump going southbound. Northbound also showing delays. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Back to Matt Gaetz, our congressman. Matt, I have a hard time with this topic of border security and immigration because I just can't explain. I hate when I cannot explain why the other side does what it does or thinks what it thinks. Do you understand, or can you maybe shed some light on why are the Democrats so tone deaf on border security and building a wall? It obviously works. It obviously worked, and it is obviously failing to not do it now. Why is it they don't get it or they don't want to get it?
at the end of the day, it's about voting. I mean, they want to expand the franchise, and they want to do it without the rigors and understanding of U.S. citizenship, because in many of these states now, they're eroding the ID requirements so that it's easier for people who are not legally in our country to vote. The other thing is that, like, the number one demographic where Republicans gained ground in the 2020 election was with Hispanics. And so Democrats believe that this policy on the border might help them recapture that ground. I actually think there's something to the fact that, like, Donald Trump built the wall. Everybody called him a racist, and he got more Hispanic votes than John McCain, mm-hmm. who offered amnesty. There might be something there.
Yeah, no, and obviously with what we know here in Florida, in South Florida, the Hispanic vote does not go to the Democrats, and that's because they came here for freedom and they understand our system, and we appreciate that. One thing I definitely want to take a second and promote, you and I are going to be spending more time together next week from 8 to 9. We're actually going to be doing a full one-hour call-in, town hall, text, and call and talk to your congressman, right?
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Love getting the questions from listeners. And, it's just part of the struggle as we're getting people vaccinated. I'm hoping this is the last time I have to substitute a radio town hall for a live town hall. But you do those, too. The great thing about 1620 is whether it's just on the radio or live and in person, you guys have got the capability to show up and do it. So this might be the last one with just our small group in the studio. And soon we'll be back out with our larger gatherings as the vaccination rate goes up.
Absolutely. And I remember the one we did out at the beach. We could do one maybe at Bruce Beach here in town until the bridges reopen or something like that. But, yeah, I'm with you. We'd love to be able to do one in person with folks. It's just different, and it's better. Matt Gaetz is our congressman, Northwest Florida, District 1. Matt, thanks so much for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again. Again, that's going to be a little different time frame, though, next week from 8 to 9. Thanks so much, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Andrew.
7:48 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you change your mind, take a chance on the first in line. Take a chance, honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down.
I feel strongly that we will continue if this so happens. So I wouldn't get discounted too much on that, because I'd hate to see the headline in the paper saying, police advisory committee dissolved yet again, and that just be it without context.
Because it's time to do it again in 5 years.
Because I, like I said last meeting, I know you weren't here, but I fully intend to keep this committee around, whether it's under the mayor's office or under the city council.
So that's Drew Buchanan, the chair of the Citizens Police Advisory Committee, talking last week during their meeting about the their goal, their hope that they can continue to exist as an advisory committee. They were talking also about, if the city council or the mayor doesn't re-up us, maybe we'll just meet on our own. You know, we don't have to be approved by the city in order to do this. This did happen once before, and then it dissolved, and now it's happened again. And if they dissolve or not, we'll see. I don't see it continuing. I don't see it being all that productive. And if you look at track record, did it work? Did the mayor do it because he promised some folks that it would happen? Yes. Did they get done what they wanted to get done? I don't know. Not yet. And again, I have been very critical of a lot of the work and a lot of things that they have done. I have always wanted them to be successful. I just don't think that they did the basic work to be successful. Everybody on that committee ought to do a ride along. Know what a cop does and then talk about how they can change. Don't come in and try and tell them what to change without having a basic understanding of what they do first. It's just, it's just not a good approach. But again, I hope that they can be successful and productive. I always want the society to be more compatible, more understanding and more productive. 7:51 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is out this week on a well-deserved vacation. Cooper Davis is sitting in from our afternoon anchor and news director. Coop?
Yes, Andrew. Now, speaking of police, police in Miami-Dade say they've arrested 1,000 people as unruly spring break crowds fill the streets of South Beach. City manager Raul Aguila says more than half are people from out of state coming to, quote, engage in lawless and anything goes party attitude, end quote. He said the crowds aren't eating in restaurants or patronizing businesses that badly need tourism dollars, but are just congregating in the streets by the thousands. The city commission has extended an 8 p.m. Thursday through Sunday curfew until April the 12th. It's getting weird on South Beach. And former director of...
Right?
Yeah.
Go on.
Indeed. And former director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, says the U.S. has evidence of UFOs flying at supersonic speeds and making maneuvers that are impossible with known technology. Ratcliffe said that and more is contained in a report detailing what the government has seen. Ratcliffe said the sightings concern, quote, objects that have been seen by Navy or Air Force pilots or picked up on satellite imagery. The government is talking about UFOs.
Of course. It's wonderful. Thanks so much, Coop. Hey, on the line, we've got Ellison Bennett for just a minute. But Ellison, thank you for calling in this morning. I know you got a story about what you're doing in the paper. You've got a complaint filed against Cursor Escarosa. Is that right?
Yes, with the U.S. Department of Justice. The employees, current and past, first contacted NAACP about 3-4 months ago, and they said nothing have changed from the toxic work environment there. I don't know whether the NAACP contacted senior management at Escarosa, but we met with former and current employees, and I'll give you an example of what's going on there. If a floor manager do a review, they send it to the COO to sign off on it, whether a person get a raise or promotion. He was giving it back to the floor manager and say, make this look like this employee is a subpar employee where you had no chance for promotion or increase in pay. That is just not the way to treat any employee.
Wow. Wow. Well, all right. We'll obviously have to get in touch with Cursor Escarosa and see what they have to say about this. They may not talk because it's a, you know, if there's an investigation or a complaint, then. But man, that's very troubling as an allegation, Allison. I know you wouldn't make it lightly. Thank you for calling in this morning, man. I appreciate it. 7:54 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, it is madness in March Madness, and Oral Roberts is certainly bringing the madness as they have now taken down number 2 Ohio State, and yesterday, number 7 Florida, as they have moved on to the Sweet 16, the second 15 seed to ever reach the Sweet 16, but the last one to do it didn't win that game, so they could be the first to win and make it into the Elite 8. They'll be playing their next game coming up in the next couple of days. I think tomorrow, actually, is when they play their next game. Also, other victories that occurred in upset fashion. Loyola Chicago, nothing new there. They take down the number 1 seeded Illinois. Also, the number 1 seed Baylor taking down Wisconsin. Syracuse upsets West Virginia. Arkansas, Houston, Villanova, and Oregon State all won their respective games. And we have more games getting underway today with tip-off starting at 11:30. That game is going to be Iowa versus Oregon, so that game coming up here later on today.
Go Ducks!
And we have more games also going on. Oklahoma gets number 1 overall Gonzaga. Abilene Christian University and UCLA playing. Ohio and Creighton. LSU and Michigan. Colorado and Florida State. Alabama, Maryland, and Kansas and USC all playing today. Now rolling this into your traffic on the fives because we do have a couple of accidents to report. Avalon Boulevard, there's a southbound accident over near Moores Oak Drive going towards I-10. This is causing delays there. Also, as you are going southbound towards Mary Kitchens Road, it is delayed. Backed up all the way to I-10 due to an accident that occurred over there. Northbound also delayed as a result of this, backing up to Garcon Point Road. Garcon Point Bridge southbound, backed up almost Avalon Boulevard now, so this is going to take you about 20 minutes extra to get you into Gulf Breeze going southbound. We're also seeing east and westbound delays on Gulf Breeze Parkway as traffic is heading towards the light, which would take you onto Garcon Point Bridge. Highway 90 going through East Milton, westbound delayed, backed up to Ward Basin Road, and also seeing delays on Highway 29 southbound in between 9 Mile and I-10. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So you always hear me talking about Christine Leavenworth, her team at Leavenworth Realty, all the homes they sell fast at or above list price. I mean, it's just kind of amazing. And she's got a new thing. Here's the deal. If you and she agree about a price, and of course you always have to agree, and if your home qualifies, and not all homes do, okay, so you got to find out, but if you and she agree about a price and your home qualifies, and she doesn't sell it within 2 weeks, 14 days, she'll write you a check for $5,000. Yeah, so And in writing. She'll put it in writing. So if she can't sell your home in 2 weeks, and you guys have agreed about a price, your home qualifies, $5,000 in your pocket. So, does she think she can sell your house? Yes. She and her team at Levin Rinky Realty, they can get your house sold. Now, obviously, the market is very hot right now, but you still got to know how to take advantage of that. You still got to know what to do, how to do it, and how to get things over the finish line, which they are just pros at. So, if you're thinking about selling your house, you just want to find out if you qualify, or, you know, you definitely want to sell your house and you want to find out how to get involved in the program, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty, 723-9158, 723-9158. Who can it be now? 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 Okay. So I know in locally we had this big story about the homecoming scandal at Tate, right? I watch the news and I'm not working, okay? But it could be even worse. You say, how is that possible? Well, apparently there's a mom elsewhere, a cheerleader mom, whose way of getting her daughter's vengeance against the other people on the team that she doesn't like was to create deep fake pictures and videos of the other girls getting naked, doing drinking drugs, all that kind of stuff, and then sending them around and threatening them with it.